Well, one more day and another year will have come and gone. We'll be celebrating the new year, a fresh start. We put a new calendar on our desk or some wall calendars on the wall, and we try to remember to put that 2013 on our checks or other documents instead of 2012. But really, what will be new? Life will probably be pretty much the same for most of us. We'll get up in the morning, put on our same clothes that we've worn before, have our usual breakfast, go to school, go to work, follow our usual daily schedule. Even Christmas can become rather routine. The poet W.H. Auden put it this way: "Well, so that is that. Now we must dismantle the tree, putting the decorations back into their cardboard boxes, some having got broken, and carrying them up to the attic. The holly and the mistletoe must be taken down, and the children got ready for school. There are enough leftovers to do, warmed up for the rest of the week. Not that we have much appetite, having drunk such a lot, stayed up so late, attempted quite unsuccessfully to love all of our relatives once again, as in previous years we have seen the actual vision and failed to do more than entertain it as an agreeable possibility. Once again we have sent him away." Well, I hardly think that we need to be quite so cynical about Christmas and the holidays. But there are times when things just seem to sort of go in a circle. Life simply repeats itself. It loses meaning and purpose and excitement. In a recent news magazine, one writer describes America as in the emotional doldrums. Our usual optimism about the future is overshadowed by economic stagnation and political gridlock. Superstorm Sandy and the murders of 26 children and teachers in Newtown certainly added to our feeling of doom and gloom. Perhaps there was a time when people felt more optimistic, that the new year signaled new possibilities of moving upward and onward. But it seems sometimes that when humanity takes a step forward, it is followed by a step backward. I'm reminded of a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes. "All things are wearisome. What has been is what will be, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, 'See, this is new'? It has already been in the ages before us." I was thinking about this as I was studying the gospel reading today, and I noticed a number of things that reflect that kind of repetitious view of life. Mary and Joseph follow faithfully the prescribed rituals of circumcising their child on the eighth day, probably at home, followed by a ceremony of purification in the temple on the 40th day. It was the same for all Jews. That's what they did. And then look at old Simeon and Anna. Their lives seem rather wearisome. Simeon had waited for who knows how many years for the Messiah, and time was running out. And Anna, after a short marriage of only 7 years, spent the rest of her widowed life in the temple, fasting and praying day and night to the age of 84. Talk about a routine and mundane life. It seemed that there wasn't much new under the sun for Simeon and Anna. But then one day, something surprising and amazing happened. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before seeing the Messiah. The Spirit interrupted his daily routine and guided him into the temple at just the right time. You can imagine the scene, the stooped old man, his eyesight no doubt clouded by cataracts, reaches out to take the child Jesus from Mary into his arms. He's holding little salvation in his arms. His lifelong dream was fulfilled. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Much the same thing happened to Anna, another senior citizen. At her age, could she really expect anything new? But it just so happened that on this ordinary day, as she was going about her temple duties, she caught sight of a child, and she knew in her heart that it was the Messiah, the Savior. And she spread the news and told everyone about him. It was a new year for her. Now, many religions in biblical times viewed life as kind of an endless cycle that one could only escape at death. But the Jewish and the Christian faiths were not one of them. They had a linear view of life. Time began at creation in Genesis. Human history unfolded according to God's plan and purpose. There was a lot of watching and waiting and expecting. The fulfillment of God's salvation was gradually revealed through the centuries. And in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we have a vision of how the story ends. Everything is new. So in spite of the rather pessimistic and cynical view of life in the book of Ecclesiastes, most of the rest of the Bible is a testimony of God's dynamic involvement in human history. It is true that we humans can't do very much to escape from the drudgery and the routine of that is so much a part of our lives, to bring about anything new. But God can lift us out of our drudgery and routine. And he does. The great affirmation of Christmas is that God himself entered into human history to change the world and renew our lives. God lifted us out of the gloom and darkness into the joy of light. Human history was stuck in the ruts of disobedience and the habits of sin. But one night in Bethlehem, there was a birth, and this child delivered the salvation that God had planned from the beginning. And not long after his birth, these two old people in the temple realized that it was not too late for them to see the dawning of a new day. And that, I suggest, is why we indeed can celebrate newness in our lives and in the new year. Undoubtedly, we will be doing many of the same things in the new year as we did in the old. We will follow much the same schedules. We will think much of the same thoughts. We will face many of the same problems. And yet, by the grace of God, we can claim the newness of life. We can expect that God will continue to intervene and even interrupt our lives. Sometimes those interruptions seem more disruptive than comforting as life changes, sometimes more troubling than reassuring. But I feel more optimistic when I know that God is with us. I'm reminded of a passage from the prophet Jeremiah, in spite of the fact that it appears in the book of Laments. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. New every morning when you wake up, there are mercies. Sometimes we might miss God's gracious interventions when we aren't paying enough attention. God can surprise us, disturb us, and bless us. God closes doors, but then he opens doors. Sometimes our lives just seem to plod along, but then God comes to us. Things change. Everything becomes new. I think there's a kind of humor aspect to life. You know, humor relies on a surprise. A good joke begins with a fairly predictable storyline, and then there's a surprise. There's a punchline. Would you mind if I tell you a joke this morning? I'll do it anyway. There was a minister who had a kitten for a pet that often got into mischief. One day this kitten climbed a small tree and wouldn't come down. The tree was not sturdy enough to climb. So the pastor thought that if he could tie a rope from the tree to his car and just bend it over just a little bit, he could reach up far enough to reach the kitten. Well, he moved the car just a little too much and the rope broke. And the tree sprang back up and the kitty went flying through the air out of sight. Well, the minister felt terrible. He looked all over the neighborhood. He asked everyone, but the kitten was not to be found. And so finally he offered a little prayer. Lord, I just commit this kitten to your care. And he didn't think much more about it. A few days later, the pastor met one of the members in the grocery store and was surprised to see cat food in her shopping cart. Everyone knew that this person didn't like cats. And so the pastor couldn't resist asking her, why are you buying cat food? I thought you didn't like cats. Well, she told this amazing story. Her little girl had been begging for a kitten for the longest time. And finally she said to her daughter, if God gives you a kitten, you can keep it. Well, one day she saw her daughter in the backyard on her knees, hearing her pray that God would give her a kitten. Well, you probably won't believe this, she said to the pastor. But right then a kitten came flying through the air with the paws spread out and landed right there in front of her. Well, I'm not sure what the moral of that little story is. Perhaps that God answers prayer, or that God works in mysterious ways, that good can come out of misfortune. The early church spoke about Easter as the great joke that God played on the devil. It seemed that all was lost, but God intervened and brought joy and new life. The good news is that it doesn't depend on us to bring an end to the routine and the dullness of life, to rescue us from the dead ends. It is God who brings joy and new life. So let us rejoice with Simeon and Anna that Jesus came to make all things new. And now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.